prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Another fundamental point is that we are opposed to the matter that all actions should be contingent on the Atomic Energy Agency's reports. We are skeptical about the agency because it has shown that it is neither independent nor just. It is not independent because it is under the influence of powers. It is not just because it has repeatedly issued unfair verdicts and views. Besides, if they say that the agency should ascertain that there is no nuclear activity in our country, this is an unreasonable statement. Well, how can they ascertain of that? What does ascertain mean anyway? They cannot ascertain that unless they search each and every house and the entire country inch by inch. Otherwise, how can they ascertain? Making all actions and measures contingent on the agency's reports is neither reasonable nor just. I do not agree with extraordinary investigations either, nor do I agree with questioning political personalities in any way, nor with inspecting military centers. As I said before, we do not agree with 15-25-year time spans. They constantly speak about a 15-year time span for such and such a task and a 25-year time span for another task. The time spans are clear. They have a beginning and an end, and they will finish.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friends, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome. This is a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about Islam's viewpoint and clean earth.
Around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's stop questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
But first, as usual, and as the ritual of this program, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, 11th of the month of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Ordibehesht, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to Allah's words. For today, we choose chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 60, to listen to and learn about the important point of this verse.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه فقلنا اضرب بعصاك الحجر فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا قد علم كل أناس مشربهم كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين.
And recall when Moses prayed for water for his people. So we said, strike with your staff the stone. And there gushed forth from it 12 springs, and every people knew its watering place. Eat and drink from the provision of Allah, and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The miracle of water gushing forth in the desert. In this verse, Allah has pointed out one of the important favors bestowed upon the children of Israel. There are a variety of ideas about what kind of stones that rock was and how Moses was supposed to strike that rock, and in what form the flow of water appeared from it. What the Quran says is not more than that Moses, peace be upon him, struck the rock, and then 12 springs gushed forth therefrom.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi. يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا.
As I told you, we're going to speak about clean earth from the Islamic point of view. Environment protection is an important aspect of Islam. Being stewards of earth, it is the responsibility of human beings to care for the environment in a proactive manner. In Islam, man has been granted this stewardship or khilafa on the earth. This is a definite purpose behind the creation of different species, be it plants or animals. Muslims are encouraged to reflect on the relationship between living organisms and their environment and to maintain the ecological balance created by Allah. Protection of the environment is essential to Islamic beliefs, and mankind has the responsibility to ensure safe custody of the environment. The Islamic perspective on environment protection reflects a positive image about Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Ali from IR English Radio, and we are trying to be with you and talk to you about Islamic perspective and how we should interact with the environment that surrounds us. Specifically, we shall focus on the Islamic perspective on the earth rather than other elements of environment, though we shall refer to those elements as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, if resurrection is starting and one of you has sapling in his hand, which he can plant before he stands up, he must do so. This is one narration from the Holy Prophet. There is another narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that he says, there is no joy in life unless three things are available: clean, fresh air, abundant, pure water, and fertile land. One of the most important problems in today's world is the environment crisis. It seems that this problem started when modern man stopped understanding himself as the vicegerent and trustee of the all-merciful Allah, who must channel divine mercy to everything at his disposal or within his reach, and stopped understanding nature as a sacred sign and valuable trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the same reason, it seems that the best way to protect the environment from destruction, and indeed to improve its condition, is to revive these forgotten understandings by referring back to the teachings and instructions of divine religious, and reviewing and readjusting our policies regarding the application of modern technology and in using natural resources appropriately.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain pouring all your love to every soul.
We're speaking about protecting the environment, so one way is conserve our resources as much as possible. Conservation of resources is an important practice to ensure the resources that we still have can be kept available and have much use for them for as long as possible. As the population of the world increases day by day, so does the consumption of the natural resources that we have. It is a natural increase, but a necessary attempt to decrease its effects in the long term. The practice of conservation does not only maintain the ecological balance, but it also may lead to the preservation of animal habitats and ecosystems. The practice of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny with regard to conserving our resources can be seen through prophetic narrations. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, was careful in utilizing natural resources as basic as water, using a minimal amount of water wherever possible is encouraged and is a positive approach to our resources. Even so, it involves performing rituals for worship, such as the ablution or wudu and obligatory bath or ghusl. We are taught by the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, to practice moderation and use only what is needed and to avoid wastage.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, it's thanks to you.
You are listening to today's special. Here is the role of water in the environment. The role of water in the environment and the Islamic injunction for conservation of this vital element fundamental to the preservation and continuation of life. God has made water the basis and origin of life. God says in chapter 21 of the Holy Quran, verse 30, we made from water every living thing. Plants, animals, and men all depend on water for their existence and for the continuation of their lives. Allah Almighty has said, and we send down pure water from the sky, thereby to bring to life a dead land and slake the thirst of that which we have created cattle and men in multitude. Chapter 25, verses 48 to 49. Owing to the importance of water as the basis of life, Allah has made its use the common right of all living beings and all human beings. All are entitled to use it without monopoly, usurpation, and despoilment, wastage, and abuse. Now we'll listen to Sayyid Baqir al-Qazvini.
As the years are passing, humans are advancing technologically. When it comes to communication, we have reached the peak. Just a few days ago, Apple introduced the new iPhones. When it comes to communication, every year we're introducing the latest technology, the newest technology. Now you could see people across the globe within seconds. Previously, several decades ago, if someone were to travel across the globe, you wouldn't hear from them until they returned many months later. Now you can contact anyone and see them live as if they're sitting next to you. We're advancing technologically. When it comes to transportation, we can fly around the globe within minutes. Within hours, you can arrive from one continent to another continent. Our homes, our buildings, we have the largest buildings, we have skyscrapers, we have the largest airports, we're driving the nicest cars, we have the largest factories. However, as we are advancing technologically, for everything there's a price. Nothing comes for free. As we advance technologically, who's paying the price? One of the prices that we're paying for is the environment. We're destroying our environment.
Was the first episode of today's special under the topic of protection of environment. Inshallah, we continue this essential and, of course, interesting topic on the next episode of today's special. Thank you and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and a very noble hadith and tradition which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, the fifth imam of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is about flattering transgressors, meaning praising them, flattering them with the hopes of getting something out of it, you know. In fact, this is something which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, and in a verse of the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, "Who are eager that you should be pliable so that they may be pliable towards you?" Imam Baqir alayhi salam in this beautiful hadith says the following: Allah revealed to the Prophet Shu'aib. So in fact, this is one of those Hadith-e-Qudsi. Hadith-e-Qudsi is a tradition in a hadith in which God speaks in the first person. You might be speaking to a prophet, you might be speaking to a great person, right? Such as, who might not be a prophet, but nevertheless is a wise person, is a great person, like the prophet Luqman, like the sage Luqman. But in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam mentions this sacred tradition and Hadith Qudsi. God Almighty revealed the following to Prophet Shu'aib: "Verily, I am punishing 100,000 members of your community." A lot of people. 40,000 from among the evildoers and 60,000 from among the good doers. When the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam heard this, he was surprised and he was amazed. So he asked, "My Lord, evil doers fine, but what about the good doers?" Meaning, why would you punish so many good doers? What have they done? Why do they deserve punishment? Then Allah, mighty and exalted, answered him by revealing the following to him. This was because they were pliable with the transgressors and did not express any anger at what anger means. Meaning these people were amongst transgressors, were amongst sinners, but they did not express any regret and any anger at what these people were doing. These people were sinning in front of them, they were transgressing in front of them, but these people, they didn't mention anything to them, they didn't try to stop them, right? They were pliable to them, they might even have been flattering them to get their affairs accomplished and done, right? They didn't do Amr bil Ma'ruf, they didn't enjoy the good, or Nahi an al Munkar, they didn't forbid the evil. This led them to incur God's wrath, and God punished 60,000 good people from amongst the community and the ummah of Shu'aib alayhi salam. So this is a very dangerous act, and we should be careful of it. In a similar tradition, Imam Ali says, "The worst of your brothers is he who flatters you and conceals you from your faults, or conceals your faults from you." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at flattering the transgressors in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله respected brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 59 of Surah An-Nisa, an ayah that talks about an important issue on page 87. So, brothers and sisters, the same as Ali Nasir and Fawad, open your Quran in front of you, page 87, Ayah 59. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا
Great recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Let me read it quickly once, then we'll explain some important points, okay? Then inshallah we'll move on to the tajweed rules. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا
This is an important line. A very, very, very important line. That if Muslims practice this ayah, the message of this ayah in their lives, there will be no problems in their government, in their political issues, in their
Only for Muslims?
Yeah. We are talking about Muslims, but the whole world.
Generally.
Okay? Because Allah Almighty talks about Muslims, okay? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. But in general, if all people, if they follow this ayah, okay? Listen, what does this ayah mean? Allah Almighty says, O you who have faith, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Obey Allah and obey the Apostle, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ and obey those vested with authority among you, those who are given authority among you, the imams. The imams.
Yes.
Okay? Because after the Prophet, the imams are given the shari'i authority by Allah Almighty.
Yes.
فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ This is the point, look. And if you had any controversy, any disagreements, okay, between you, and you have one idea, the other one has one idea, okay? So look, you're Muslims. If you had this kind of controversy, okay, what should you do, come on, in order to stop kind of fights in order to stop like this kind of chaos in the society, in the Islamic community, what should you do? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Refer it to Allah and the Apostle. It means refer it to the rules sent by Allah Almighty to the Prophet and Prophet who has taught you. Okay, the Ahadith, the Quran. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you have faith in Allah and the last day. Okay, got it? ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That is better and more favorable in outcome and the result. So look, what does this ayah say is important. First, Allah Almighty says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ. Allah. Look, Allah is here. Okay? وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Ah, the obedience to the Prophet is equal to the obedience to the
Imam.
Allah Himself. Yeah, you're correct. Now the next point is here. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ. And the obedience to the أُولِي الْأَمْرِ is equal to the obedience to the Prophet and to Allah Almighty. So people should follow that person. Prophet is infallible. Now, what about Ulil Amr, the governors, the leaders after the Prophet? Should the leaders after the Prophet, can the leaders who are after the Prophet, Ulil Amr, can they be any person? Any person?
No.
No. It should be someone who at least must have similarities to the Prophet and to Allah Almighty. You got it? So Allah Almighty, Prophet, and Ulil Amr must be the same as Prophet.
Yes.
He should be infallible, he should be knowledgeable, he should be chosen by Allah Almighty, because Allah Almighty chose Prophet. So he, Ulil Amr as well, should be. This is called Imama. That's what we believe in Imam Ali alayhi salam. He is the right person because Allah Almighty has commanded that he should be. When you obey, okay, the leader, okay, he should have at least some similarities to us. Got it?
Yes.
The infallibility, the knowledge, the justice, these things.
Yeah.
Not like others who, like illegally, okay, in a batil way, got the control of the Islamic Ummah.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقت هذا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So let's mention the Tajweed rules, okay? Some of them quickly, and then inshallah we'll finish our session. The very first point, actually the rest of the explanations must be for you inshallah to refer to the Tafasir books, Fawad and Ali Nasir, and brothers and sisters who have been listening to us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, the first point here is about the pronunciation of letters. Ha, Hamza, Dhal, someone help me.
Ta.
Ta. Ain. Next one.
Ha.
Mashallah. So, ha. These letters are important. Inshallah, pay attention to them. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. The word ya ayyu, you can skip the mat or you can extend the mat, okay?
No, it is jais.
So this, the word ya ayyu, so this, like the mat, you can extend the mat, okay? The sound, or shorten it.
Yeah.
Skip it. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Or you can skip that one. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. The word amanu is as well like this, okay? It's not wajib, it is jais, optional. أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم ألف مد واو مد here يامد will be skipped okay sorry واو مد and يامد أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول so you skip the واو here أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر you skip the مد وأولي الأمر there is a واو in the word أولي Wow has a sukun on the top. Yeah. It's an exceptional word. Uli, ulaika, ulaiha. These words, okay? The wow will be skipped. Ignore the wow. Ulil amri minkum. Nun sakin plus kaf. Hide the sound of ikhfa. Minkum. Fa in tanazartum. Again, ikhfa. Hide the sound of nun. Fa in tanazartum. Fi shay'in. Again, the same way. Hide the sound of tanwin. Because tanwin and nun, they have the same rules, okay? Farudduhu ila Allahi wa rasuli in kuntum. Hide the sound, both of them, yes?
In
kuntum. تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر آخر Jim is there to tell you that there is a bus stop yeah you can stop yeah. here or
continue
yeah ذلك خير تنوين after تنوين you have واو خير you merge the sound وأحسن تأويلا right تأويلا changes to تأويلا ready to recite after me
Yes.
Because you've learned the tajweed rules. Ready? One, two, three. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasul wa ulil amri minkum.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم
أحسنتم وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله
فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ
أَحْسَنْتُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ
إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر
ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا
ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
ما شاء الله الله bless you inshallah that's all for today brothers and sisters stay with IRIB English Radio inshallah thank you so much Fawad and Ali Nasir thanks for being with us today inshallah we'll be here with you wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَةِ.
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ. You have decreed your worship for your servants. وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ. You commanded them to supplicate you. وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَ. You assured them that they would be answered. فَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّي نَصَبْتُ وَجْهِي. So toward you, my Lord, I have turned my face. وَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّي مَدَدْتُ يَدِي. And toward you, my Lord, I have extended my hand. Regarding the acceptance of prayers and supplications, we said in the previous episode that there are different necessary conditions to be met for the acceptance of prayers. And when the Almighty Allah says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِي إِذَا دَعَانَ, I answer surely the prayer of the supplicant when he calls on me, it is based on different conditions and prerequisites. And those conditions are to be found in the different verses of the Holy Quran and even in the traditions of Ahlul Bayt. It is narrated, for example, that the Israelis were affected by famine for 7 years. 70,000 of them went to a desert to pray for rain. Now, in that situation, there came a divine address. O Moses, say to them, how should I accept your prayer while your sins have embraced you and your hearts are covered with evil? Do you call upon me while you do not believe in me? Go to one of my servants named Burkh so that he would ask me and I would accept it. Moses looked for that man, but he could not find him. One day, he was passing a place where he saw a black slave on whose forehead was the sign of prostration and who had hung something on his neck. Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, thought that he was Burkh, so he asked him of his name. He answered, I am. My name is Burkh. Moses said, I have been looking for you for a while. Pray for rain. That man went to the desert and said in his prayers, O Allah, withholding the rain from your servants is below your dignity. There is no stinginess in your presence. Is it that your mercy is weakened, or that the winds have disobeyed you? or your resources have terminated, or your wrath to the sinners has increased. Were you not the forgiver before creating the sinners? He had not even moved from his place, the tradition says, when it started to rain, to that extent that all the Israelis' thirst was quenched.
Verily, you have ordained for your servants your worship, and bidden them to supplicate unto you, and have assured them of your response. So, my Lord, I look earnestly towards you, and towards you, my Lord, I have stretched forth my hands. Therefore, by your honor, respond to my prayers, and let me attain my wishes, and by your bounty, frustrate not my hopes, and protect me from the evils of my enemies, from among the jinns and mankind.
Thank you, Allah, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Dear listeners, even in this tradition of the Ahlul Bayt, and the story of Prophet Moses, ala nabina wa alihi wa alihi salam, you can see that the supplication of the man is accepted by the Almighty Allah, and the supplication of all those people are not accepted because of one small nuance, one small important point. The point is that those people who went to the desert to pray for rain had their sins with them. They, as the Almighty Allah said to Moses, how should I accept your prayer while your sins have embraced you? They had committed so many sins that their hearts were covered with evil. So the Almighty Allah says, I do not accept such supplication. But now let us have a look at the supplication of this man, Burkh. At first, he began his supplication by naming him. O Allah, this means, O Allah, I have recognized who you are. I have known your attributes. I have known where I'm standing. I know my position and yours too. I know where and I know from whom I'm asking. So he continued, O Allah, withholding the rain from your servants is below your dignity. This means he knows that he is one of the servants of the Almighty Allah. He knows one of the great attributes of the Almighty Allah, which is his dignity. So he names them. Naming these attributes out loud is one of those conditions. Then he moves on. There is no stinginess in your presence. This means he knows the Almighty Allah's attributes completely, and that's why he has come to him to supplicate. That's why he knows the Almighty Allah as the forgiver before creating the sinners. This causes the Almighty Allah to accept the supplication, and this is how they get rain, enough rain to the extent that their thirst is quenched. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very important question. That question is related to one of our most central and important pillars of our Islamic faith. I am referring specifically to prophethood, which we call in Arabic Nubuwwat. So, as you know, prophethood, it means the delegation of messengers by God who are given knowledge, a specific type of knowledge, which we call wahi or revelation, for guidance. Now, sometimes this revelation is meant for guidance of others, sometimes it's just meant for the guidance of that prophet in particular. So the question that we want to ask today about this subject is this: what is the philosophy or the reasoning behind prophethood and the delegation of prophets? There are fortunately a number of hadiths and Quranic verses as well which allude to some of the reasons why God delegated the prophets and sent them and, you know, revealed his knowledge to them. One of the reasons for the delegation of prophethood is perfection, the perfection of human beings. In response to an atheist who asked him, "Wherefore did you establish the need for and existence of prophets?" Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following: "When we establish that we have a creator and maker supreme over us and over all that he created, and that this maker is so wise and supreme that his creation cannot see him, or touch